This is Rod Peterson on Demand. Now,
it's kind of a funny story. I was on the stationary bike this morning watching the World Junior coverage. I'm like, we should have Rich Sutter as our World Juniors insider. Boom, send. I sent it to Rich.
How about that?
Not Clark. So Rich wrote me back, I'm in! When Christmas rolls around, everybody's going to be locked down. We're all going to be watching the World Juniors, and we'll all convene here every morning to talk about the game the night before and tee up the next night's game.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to a Flame Tech Football Friday on the RP Show. It is hour one on Game Plus TV, but hour two overall. We've been rolling on Facebook Live in hour one talking football. You see here in the bunker, Hall of Fame Saskatchewan Rough Riders broadcaster John Lynch. He is the Don Cherry of football. And it's exciting right now. It is 11 a.m. Central, noon Eastern, and 10 Mountain. And I'm checking Twitter here on the break, and I see my good friend Mark Steven, the voice of the Calgary Stampeders, saying that we can expect the CFL schedule to be released at 10 a.m. Mountain. That's now, Lynch.
I know it is. That's right now. Right now.
So we're going to jump right into the topics here. Let's get to the... Well, hit the horn, please. Quick six show topics. Everything's happening. Clark is telling me everybody's tweeting out their schedules. Every CFL team sending out their schedules. We've got six show topics to get to right in the middle of our show, or right at the start as it pertains to game TV. We've got the CFL schedule being released. So hang on. We'll get to that in a minute. Here's what we're going to be talking about today. Number one, Thursday night, the CFL announced their all-decade team for the 2010s, voted on by fans, media, players. And headlining it all as quarterback, Bo Levi Mitchell of the Calgary Stampeders, my dear and longtime friend. And just so you know, I voted for him as number one. Would you have Lynch, or who'd you have as a number one quarterback?
Yeah, I'd have Bo. You'd have to have Bo.
You have to have Bo.
Yep.
Point two, Thursday night football, the Seattle Seahawks held off the Arizona Cardinals 28-21 in a battle of NFC West supremacy Thursday night. Our NFL insider, Tory Gurley, is coming up to talk about that game and a preview of Week 11. Point three, more Grey Cup memories / talk / CFL Sim Grey Cup preview. Because Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, it's our eSports League Championship Final, Saskatchewan versus Ottawa. You can watch at greycupunite.ca or our Facebook Live page at The Rod Peterson Show. Point four, how the CFL needs to change when it comes back, and maybe that's the number one point we'll be discussing over the next hour with John Frenzy and you, the viewers. Point five, will there be an NHL season? I'm not sure that it's any different than the CFL in this, John.
Yeah.
They're saying it's not about health anymore or a virus. It's about
money.
Dollars.
Yeah. Well, now it's scheduled, I understand, for January the 8th, eh?
No, that's the Western Hockey League. Oh. The National Hockey League's January 1st.
January 1st, okay. And Bettman says it's going to happen, no matter what. So if you're going out for a New Year's party, you can't go.
And point six, the Canadian Hockey League has announced an e-Memorial Cup tournament. And I'm going to have to bring in Darren DuPont, our regular co-host, later on, and we'll discuss this. But all 60 teams plus four dignitaries are going to play eSports, EA Sports, NHL in a tournament. I know it sounds nerdy to you folks that aren't of that generation, but for those that are into gaming, it's a really big deal. All the way to the e-Memorial Cup.
Right.
Late November into mid-December. So those are the quick six show topics. By the way, yesterday's rock star of the day was Luke Akanji, 9-year CFL veteran, Grey Cup champion, the rock star of the day for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. They provided us with these beautiful mugs. Was Luca. You'll be voting at the end of today's show on today's rock star of the day. So the CFL schedule's out. Let's settle right into it, Lynch. Jason in Red Deer says the CFL schedule is now posted on CFL.ca. Nelson Hakowicz telling us the season kicks off on June 10th.
June the 10th. How about that? Season kicks off June the 10th. Well, okay. That's wonderful. Lovely. Glad to hear that. Can we see more detail?
What detail would you like to? What detail would you like to know?
Who are we playing? When? How many games in the summertime? Labor Day matchups are going to be more intense now, being 4 weeks further into the season. Well, that's going to be interesting.
Well, what this is telling me, all of this literally, it feels like, came out of nowhere in a way. However, on Monday, when the commissioner of the league spoke in his virtual town hall State of the League address, he said right around the corner, we're going to have a schedule.
Yep, he sure did.
Players have been clamoring for a guarantee that there will be a season. Is this it?
Well, sure it is. What do you think when you get this? What do you think it says?
What it's telling me is, I'm just calling up the Rough Riders website right now at riderville.com. You can't tell me that there's going to be fans in the stands, and nobody's saying that there will be. But if the season kicks off on June 10th, it's telling me they're starting without fans in the stands.
Yeah.
That's what it's telling me.
Yeah, me too. I think it's going to be Labor Day. That's just me talking for the fans going back in the stands, or some kind of semblance of fans. Less interlocking matchups to limit travel.
Okay, well, I'm up on the Riders website right now, and they don't have the schedule posted. So I will go over to CFL.ca and see what they're saying over here. Here it is. CFL unveils comeback schedule for 2021. And I'm sure there's a lot of viewers across this country saying, why are you guys talking about this today? Well, it is a Flame Tech Football Friday. This is virtual Grey Cup week, Grey Cup Unite. And by the way, the National Hockey League, American Hockey League, and the Canadian Hockey League aren't playing. So what the heck else is there to talk about? Yeah. But the actual week one, here it is. Here are your matchups, Frenzy. Week one, this is not virtual. This is real. Thursday, June 10th, a Grey Cup rematch. The Hamilton Tiger Cats at the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Friday, June 11th, my dad's birthday. Montreal at Ottawa. And a Saturday doubleheader. The BC Lions at the Calgary Stampeders, followed by the Saskatchewan Roughriders at the Edmonton Football Club. Biggest question, will Edmonton have a new name by then?
And what will it be? I'm astounded by this. It must mean they've made arrangements. I don't think they can just do that, can they? Just put that out like that? It's got to be done. They must have made arrangements and confirmed it. We can take that as confirmed. That means everything's being set up. We can rejoice today, can't we?
Well, they want you to. A buddy in Hamilton's texting me right now. 2021 schedule was released just now, coming from the hammer. But this is where people, listen, man, Lauren Smith in Kamloops, I love you, bud, but he writes in and says, I'm not happy with all the Friday games on the Lions schedule. But anything is better than nothing. We just went through a 2020 with no season, and you're going to complain about Friday games? Are you for real?
And like, here's Troy Durant. Wow. Hamilton playing on Wednesday and then again on Monday. What kind of nonsense is that? They've worked on it. They put this schedule together.
Stop. Don't you feel like we just walked into a rodeo?
Yeah, I do.
Whoa.
Walked into a rodeo.
Troy Durrell, Hamilton, like John just said, Hamilton playing on a Wednesday and then again on a Monday? What kind of nonsense is that? I know, it sounds like a video game schedule. But for now, it's for real. And but viewer Paul Shanks writes in and says, I'll believe it when I see the kickoff. Here's the thing. What's necessarily going to change? The border's still closed. We're down to groups of five. And I know it's November and you're talking about what? Next May for a training camp right now? Things will probably change by then. But if you go back and look at the National Football League, just last spring, you had the commissioner saying, we're going to play and we're going to have full stadiums. And Trump was saying the same thing. Because they said, 4 months from now, things are going to look a lot different than they do now. Yeah, they did. They looked worse. So, the schedule's out. I got to take some time to process this because I didn't necessarily know that it was coming right when we went on the air.
That slays me. I mean, they're committing themselves. They're going to make themselves look awful stupid if nothing happens. They get screwed around, have to cancel a lot of games, move them up to the different schedules. They're starting in June the 10th. They got to move it ahead to September or something like that. Whew. It's really the possibility of it being a very volatile issue, but Larry, well, I guess he believes what he's doing.
At the end of the day, and it's not Larry Ambrosi, it's Randy Ambrosi.
Randy Ambrosi.
At the end of the day, what I was hoping on Monday, last Monday, with the commissioner, was that he would say, we're playing no matter what, fans or no fans, and today, this is what I'm hearing. Yeah. They're playing.
Yeah.
They didn't say fans or no fans, but I believe that's what we're reading between the lines. And I think it'll be without fans at the start. There's absolutely no reason to think that they're going to have fans in the stands.
It's Michael Willoughby, our buddy from Saskatoon, vice president of the University of Saskatchewan. 2021 schedule is for real, but need to respect the process. What's that mean? It lets you...
Yeah, no kidding.
Have a,
what do you mean? Yeah, thank you. What does that mean? We need to respect the process.
Have allow them room for error.
Rose, we got a lot of viewers in Edmonton, and for once they've actually, they're chiming in. Rose says, vaccine starting in January will be in the stands in June.
Well,
hang on, hang on. Mandy in Edmonton, CFL players and staff would be near the end of the line of who gets a vaccine first. I'm more inclined to believe Mandy than go along with Rose. Dougal Cameron in Calgary, he's a Stampeders fan. He says, think about it. Nothing gets people off their butts like a deadline. I go back and forth on that. I know what you're saying. It's like, let's shove it down their throat. Let's ram it through.
Yep.
That's kind of what they're saying. The information that I've been forwarded from health officials is that there will be no mass vaccinations until December, which is over a year away.
Yeah.
And so don't think for one second that there's going to be fans in the stand in June. Forget it.
We can bring this to a head easily. Go to the ticket office and buy a ticket and see it printed. See what comes out. And if it's you got a full ticket, everything like they say there is, you got to believe that something's going to happen. They're planning for something to happen. They must have put something together. They just didn't say, hey, let's keep these people happy. We'll give them a schedule. There must be a lot of behind the scenes work. We must be in pretty good shape. Hey, well, wouldn't you say that?
Yes. This is a great news day. I'm not going to sit here and say that it's not. We're all kind of questioning how it's going to happen, but I'm with you. It is telling me that things are being done behind the scenes. It's telling me that it looks like they have got their act together. They've got a schedule together. And like you just said, work's been done. You're right, John. If they were to go two seasons without playing, they couldn't even survive it. Forget about what the perception
would be. They couldn't walk around the streets.
No. But the other thing is, with the NHL, which was 0.5 here, let's just consider this for a second, John, and you viewers. I've watched the analysis on the big networks, TSN and Sportsnet, over the last 24, 36 hours, and they've said NHL owners, you know, they've been meeting with the players, and they've said, you know that worst-case scenario that we were talking about a few months back? It's actually worse of worse in terms of money lost.
Yeah.
So the way the CFL is going to get on the field this year with the absence of fans at the start, because there is no way on God's green earth that I believe there will be fans in the stands in June, it will be through television revenue, stadium signage, other creative ways of revenue generation.
Now, why did they put this out? I'm shocked by it.
Because it's Grey Cup Unite week, I guess.
I'm astounded they did it. They can look like complete jerks. Well, I mean, aren't you? I mean, it just sounds, we talked about this on the way up here. That's all we talked about. And we get here, and here's a schedule.
Well,
it just looks like their other schedule, printed out and done well. So, I mean, it's ridiculous to issue that to people. They got tickets. They're going to buy tickets.
Are you?
Yeah, sure, I'll buy tickets. I always do.
You going to buy tickets now?
Yep. No, I don't know. You go over and you'll go over the ticket office and talk to them and see what the hell is going on. Eh?
Here's the problem that I have with how things have been done. I'm not sure if they're going to be done this way moving forward. And by the way, we're talking about this so much because it is a Flame Tech Football Friday. And here on the Friday of Grey Cup Unite Week, they've announced a schedule. We saw the article in the Toronto Sun about the Atlantic Schooners are still a thing. Our good friend, Gary Drummond. He's the main money guy behind the Schooners. We've been at his house, Lynch, right?
Right, yeah.
In Scottsdale.
Right.
What a beautiful shack.
No kidding, eh?
That was, by the way. But,
unbelievable. That was best party I've been in years.
Yeah, he's saying they want to be part of a stable CFL coming back.
Yep.
And I hope that the CFL is stable. But
it has to be.
This summer, I was on the T-Box, number one, at the Deer Valley Golf Park, Golf and Estates, and the marshal came up, because they're partners of our show. I'm golfing out there, and the marshal goes, "I'm all excited. I can't wait. Schooners are coming into the league. I'm originally from Halifax." I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait, what? No. Why would you say that?" "No, no, they announced it 2 Grey Cups ago in Edmonton." Yeah, they did. I was there in the room. They had cheerleaders. Randy Ambrosi was on stage. Drummond, Gary LeBlanc, Anthony LeBlanc. And here we are, literally nowhere closer to a team in Halifax. And in the article, it mentions that they will play in Moncton to get things going and then hopefully get shovels in the ground in Halifax. What do you think? Have you been to the Maritimes, Lynch?
Yep. Yep.
You have? Do you think there's a thing that they could start playing in Moncton and never leave?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Moncton's a good town. Yep, I can believe that easily. The Moncton people are really looking forward to a football team there. I know several people from down there, from my trips up there with the R.L. Crane Business Forums.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, they want it. But Gary's telling them in a year and a half, they'll have the place ready. In Moncton, they can probably. Only one side of the field, of course. But, they can do something for a year. And then you'd have to have the major stadium ready to go in Halifax by 22. Going to 23,
Stop.
What?
They would have had to have broke ground by now. It takes 2 years to build the stadium. It's not happening. And the government's already said, we're out. We're done. Pandemic's finished with a stadium here in Halifax.
I just like to know.
Rose in Edmonton says, "I will bet you, Rod, that there will be at least partial fans in the stands." No, I agree. But not full stadiums. Kent Strachan writes in, "Hey, Rod, Kent from Calgary here. I bought Rider season tickets and committed to the 3-year deal they offered. Have to stay positive and support my team. I'm staying positive, too. This is a good news day. But, as I said 1 hour ago on Facebook Live, and I'll say it now, they're on national television, I was told to stay positive and be optimistic going into last season. And I did. And they pulled the plug. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Mandy Glass.
So I'll believe it when I see it."
Mandy Glass is right on. Simple. How could be so stupid? Lynch, they put it out because they want people's money in the form of season tickets. She's right. Thinks people are going to buy tickets. That's where they're going to get their money from. They're themselves. People are going to go out and buy tickets.
Well, they already got Kent's in Calgary.
Oh, that's me there. Go on.
So there you go.
People will be talking about it.
Tory Gurley coming up. A sports update. I do want to talk about the Canadian Hockey League's E-Memorial Cup. That excites me. And the CFL Sim Grey Cup goes Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern at greycupunite.ca and Facebook Live, Saskatchewan versus Ottawa. And we'll dig into these Week 11 NFL games, too, when we come back with Tory Gurley. Lynch's appearances for Wheaton Kia. You can find him in North Regina.
Love it, boy.
You betcha. Corner of Avonhurst and Albert. We'll be right back. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live for Sud's full service car wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Just ahead of our NFL insider, Tory Gurley, with Tory's tips for Wheaton Kia. CFL has announced its schedule this morning. That is breaking news worthy. It came out at 12 p.m. Eastern. Metal Shingle Guy writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line, and he says, "Tentative schedule is what it is, guys. Justin Trudeau telling people things are going to be worse. Stay home as much as possible. CFL is selling a dream. Buy a lottery ticket. You got better odds."
Oh, boy.
And Wayne, all the way out in Victoria, says the governments are going to more restrictions, not less. They need to do a 180-degree turn to have fans in the stands. Sorry to say. That's what I'm saying. I'll get back to more of your comments in a moment, but let's go to our good friend Tory Gurley now, former Browns and Packers wide receiver, former Argo 2, and he joins us today from Hogtown, where it's still summer, from what I understand. How you doing, Tory?
I'm good. How you guys doing over there?
Hey, we're good. Not as good as you. We had Rick Vive on yesterday, former Maple Leafs captain, who was going out the door to go golfing, Lynch. Did you know that?
No.
For the last round of the year.
Are you kidding? I bet it was mine.
In Toronto. Torrey, let's start with the NFL. The Thursday nighter last night, Seahawks over the Cardinals, 28-21. Was this for NFC West supremacy in your mind, or will the Seahawks be overtaken for that division lead by the time all is said and done?
No, it's a dogfight. It was a very important win by the Seahawks. The Cardinals had a one-game edge on them, so to tie that up puts them in better position to stay on top of the division. But right now, it is – I mean, you have to worry about the Rams. You got to worry about the Cardinals. I mean, it's a tough division, and San Francisco can sneak up on you and beat you. So that was very important for Seattle to get that win last night over the Cardinals.
I got to ask you, is there in your mind, and I haven't asked you this question yet all season, but a lock of the week in week 11, if you believe in such a thing as locks, like a laugher?
Yeah, I would say you got to take the Kansas City Chiefs to beat the Raiders. Back a few weeks ago, the Raiders beat the Chiefs and they caught them off guard. And to rub it in, John Gruden decided to take the bus and have a victory lap around Arrowhead Stadium. And the word got out to the different players of the Chiefs. So now they're coming off a bye week. They're very motivated, pissed off. You know, like our coach say, make sure your piss is hot before you go out and go play. Whatever that means, it's coach's terminology. So if I can get a very fired up Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Andy Reid, man, I think they're going to light the scoreboard up on Sunday just to prove a point.
Wow, that's not the team that you want to upset. However, you saw Gruden say that it was a smart-mouthed bus driver that made them do that. They got on the bus, and Gruden's like, you know what? Take us for a lap around this place. But anyways, it's got the Chiefs fired up, so you're right. Lynch, what do you got for Torrey?
Well, I see Indianapolis is going to take on, who are they taking on?
The Packers.
The Packers. I think that should be quite a game. I was quite impressed with the way Indianapolis played last weekend. So they seem to be improving. The quarterbacking situation's better. I think they got a good chance of beating Green Bay in Green Bay. You?
You know what? I would love to agree with you, but the only person that scares me is Phillip Rivers. You can't depend on him whenever you need Phillip Rivers to come through in the clutch. He always finds a way to throw a couple of interceptions, and it just leaves you scratching your head. So, but Indianapolis, they are a tough out because defensively they can get after you with just their front four. And offensively, they have one of the best offensive lines in all of football, so you can run the ball on the Packers, but it just scares me if they get – Phillip Rivers in third and long, or you need him to go on a two-minute drive, you know what usually happens in the clutch, and that's something that I'd rather have Aaron Rodgers than leaning on Phillip Rivers in that situation.
I see the pundits are putting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as number four this week in the power ratings. Do you agree with that?
I don't believe in power ratings because obviously you're playing a different schedule. You know, some people are playing a first-place schedule. Some guys playing a last-place schedule. So what truly matters is winning the division. And there are two games behind New Orleans. So if Tampa wants to catch up, they're going to need a lot of help along the way to claim that division, because if not, they're going to be a tough wild card team. And that's weird that, you know, the Dallas Cowboys or someone in the NFC East could be hosting a playoff game, and they'll have to face Tom Brady in the opener, and we know what happens in that situation. So it could be a blessing in disguise if the Saints hold on to that division and Tampa is a wild card team.
Our NFL insider, Torrey Gurley, is with us. Let's go to Torrey's tips right now for Wheaton Kia, if you don't mind, for week 11. What do you got?
Oh, man, this is going to be a great week. I'm loving so much that's on here. We have Carson Wentz at quarterback. I think he's going to be a great pickup this week. We have Jonathan Taylor, DJ Chark, Hayden Hurst, Julio Jones. I love the Chargers defense. A lot of these guys I'm picking, usually I try to pick a team and stick with it. But this week I had to bounce around and get some other players because I like the matchup. You know, with the Falcons playing the Saints, I think the ball is going to go up and down the field. And earlier, You know, I was mentioning that the Colts have one of the best offensive lines, so I think the rookie Jonathan Taylor could have a great game as well. And Carson Wentz is due for a breakout. It's been a while. A lot of people have been down on him, but I think this is an opportunity for him to go out and have a big game this week.
There you go, Torrey's tips for Wheaton Kia. You know, you talk about the Eagles, Alex Singleton, a team leading 15 tackles in a loss last week. Whoops, we found you. Doug Peterson losing his mind on a radio host in Philadelphia this week. I don't know if you heard that or not, but he just sounded like every football coach I've ever known, to be honest with you. And I don't know if you saw that, Lynch. You probably did.
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was bad. What happened was he was on hold waiting to come on. You know how that is, Torrey, in the break? And they come back, and the one host goes, our poll today is who's to blame for the Eagles' loss yesterday? Coaching, the quarterback, or the defense? And they're like, oh, it's coaching. Oh, we happen to have Doug Peterson right now. Hey, Coach Peterson, welcome to the show. Like steam coming out of his ears. You could see how that would go over, right?
Yeah.
And but they just won a Super Bowl. Like, is there too much heat on Doug? How much time should a Super Bowl win get you in a market? I think at least 2 years.
About 3 years now, hey, for him.
As much time as you want. Just ask Dallas. You know, they haven't seen it in 15, 20 years, so... obviously things are different in Philadelphia. There's that roster isn't the same, but they got to get it together, but they have a shot. That division is so bad that a 5-win team could be a division winner. So they're still in the hunt, and the people in Philadelphia just got to stop panicking, because right now this is the best year to be a bad football team, because you still could come out as a playoff contender and have a high draft pick.
What about the Denver Broncos now? John Elway really hasn't done much, I don't think, as a general manager, Torrey, and they're not doing much again this year, and quarterback seems to be the problem.
That's the problem, Drew Luck. This guy is so inconsistent. A couple of weeks ago, he had a come-from-behind victory and right before overtime, and you know everybody was singing him praises, and literally the following week, he went to Atlanta and laid a dud, so... John Elway, he was a great quarterback, but he and Michael Jordan share something in common. They suck when it comes to picking players. It's just been really bad. You know, you look at Michael Jordan being with the Charlotte Hornets, he can't draft a guy to save his life. And the same thing with John Elway when it comes to a quarterback. These guys don't know talent just because they were just so gifted as athletes. I guess they think it should just come second nature to them, but, you know, these guys were just the best of the best.
That's a really interesting point, and as they say, Gretzky wasn't a very good hockey coach either. I got to ask you about the New York Jets, because I want to see the Cowboys finish last and draft Trevor Lawrence and then trade him for defensive help. But it looks like the Jets just can't get out of their own way. When are they going to fire Adam Gase? Like, what is your history and knowledge about firing coaches, Torrey? I know this. Teams don't want to fire coaches. They don't want to. Because they hired him in the first place. It'll make him look stupid. They don't. If they do, they don't want to pay him out. But what's taking the Jets so long? Because it seems like Adam Gase is a dumpster fire.
Yeah. His time is it's up. You can tell he's a dead man walking. And unfortunately, the Jets just don't play inspired football. And I think right now what they have going on up top, with the owner and GM, I think they're going to move in a different direction. But whenever you do that, you literally are starting all over. And I just don't know too many great – well, I do know some great coaching candidates out there, but I would hate for guys to start off with that job first. You know, a lot of people talk about Eric Bieniemy of the Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator. You have a great time coaching Patrick Mahomes, but literally you're going to go from there to the Jets, where the culture is so bad, and before you know it, they can chew you up and spit you out. So if it was me and I was in the coaching world, I wouldn't take that Jet job, because it just seemed like it's a dead-end street.
Minnesota Vikings look like they're for real now. They've finally come around, 4 straight wins, I believe it is. Looking very impressive there. Do you think they're a serious candidate for that division, the Northern Division, number one?
I mean, they got a big win against the Packers, so that's huge, because they have a tiebreaker over them. But they got to continue to win along the way. And, you know, this week is going to be a huge game for them. You know, Dallas is coming off a bye week, And Dalvin Cook, the way he's been running the football, man, he's just feed him. And I love Justin Jefferson, opposite wide receiver of Adam Thielen. He's been extremely well. And if you can get Kirk Cousins in manageable situations, man, this guy's proven to go out and get wins. So, you know, the Vikings are doing a great job because I truly thought they were tanking as well.
Should be an interesting game. Cowboys, Vikings, maybe two teams that don't want to win it. Tori, thank you so much. As always, Tori's tips are for Wheat and Kia. Stay safe, my friend, and we'll chat with you in a week.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Great talking to you, Tori.
NFL, CFL veteran Tori Gurley joining us from Toronto. Again, Tori's tips for Wheat and Kia and FanDuel. Joe Lazito writing from New York. He says, Rod, the Jets are absolutely in a different universe of suck this season. Enjoy the number two overall pick. Well, they could still get a good player at number two. Who's the quarterback at OSU? Fields? Justin Fields?
Justin Fields.
They say he might be better than Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, they say he might be better than Trevor Lawrence. And Trevor Lawrence, they're saying, is a junior. He can stay in college for another year, and he's thinking about staying at Clemson for another year because the story we hear, he doesn't really get too excited about playing in New York for the Jets. Now, you can say what you want, a lot more money playing in New York for the Jets than there is playing at Clemson, but possibility, I guess.
Yeah. Lots of football to go before that number one pick's handed out. Are you out of here? You leaving? How long till we break, guys? Okay, Lynch, can you give us two more minutes until you go?
Yep.
It is a Flame Tech Football Friday. That was all the NFL talk, but put a bow on your CFL talk if you don't mind. You had some thoughts in the car ride up here because I pick him up on the way here, and then they dropped the schedule on us halfway through the show. The schedule's been announced today. So where are you on the status of the CFL right now?
The great guy to talk to, right away here, my ride, John Lipp, former president of the Riders. I wonder if he realizes a schedule put out half an hour ago. I'm glad to see they did it. It's a very aggressive move. I hope they're serious about it. Isn't just throw it out there and hope something happens and hope people will buy tickets all over the place. They must have done some work. They must have got some good stuff done. They must have some major businesses that are going to carry them, help finance them. I don't think banks or the government, but I think they've got to do something like that. And I'm going to say I give them an 8. They really went all out. Surprised me, but that schedule's all, it's not just an imitation one. It's going to start on June the 10th.
That's the word with the schedule coming out today. And, you know, as Randy Ambrosi started this week by saying they want to be positive, they want to be optimistic. We had Sherrod Baltimore on of the Red Blacks last hour, and what did he say? He's like, I've been paid. It's not as much as I would have liked, but we're getting some money.
Yeah.
So maybe they're going to pull this off. Right?
Yeah.
And be on the field in 2021 because the alternative is there is no alternative.
That's right.
They're dead if they don't.
It's going to be something to talk about for the next month.
By the way, can we go to a break now? Okay. The guys are telling me that Justin Dunk is calling in on video for the next segment. All right. On the schedule release today. You want to know what's going on in the CFL? We got it right now, hot with Justin Dunk of Three Down Nation after this break. Thanks, Frenzy.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
It's the RP Show. You're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live for Suds Full Service at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You got to subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Breaking news today. The CFL has announced its 2021 schedule. Is Dunk ready? He is? Okay. I'm reading this tweet from Andrew Patterson, our good friend Hustler from TSN 1290 Winnipeg. He says, in a non-pandemic year, CFL fans would be in Regina doing a quick zombie walk to breakfast right now before flooring it to touchdown Manitoba starting at noon. There's nothing quite like the Grey Cup experience. Like I say, I've said it the last few days. I'm not for living in the past, but this week, I'll allow it because Grey Cup memories are so special. but it does tend to be a little depressing. But the CFL has done their best to snap us out of those doldrums as we welcome Justin Dunk of 3downnation.com, the CFL's number one insider. And JD, thanks for joining us on short notice today. I haven't had time to like delve into this schedule. Arash teased last night that it's going to be different than most years. So what have you discerned out of it?
Well, it starts with the Grey Cup rematch, which is going to be tasty for people around the league. The one interesting part to me, and I've just glanced over it real quickly to get on with you guys, is that the Riders don't travel to Hamilton to play the Ticats. The Tiger Cats do go to Mosaic Stadium, but those are some of the intricacies within this schedule where they're trying to have more divisional games to lower the amount of travel, obviously with COVID-19 still being around us. Hopefully it's different by the time the season comes around, but that's what jumps out to me.
Still an 18-game schedule? I didn't even look. I haven't had time to look.
Full slate, buddy.
Okay, great. And the other thing, a lot of folks are wondering why there are so many preseason games. What would you answer to that?
Well, to me, it's just a normal schedule, right? There's a couple. So the Riders play the Bombers in Winnipeg, and then they come back to Regina and play them for those games. I think there had been some talk prior to the pandemic about potentially cutting the preseason games down maybe to one. There were some people I know that I talked to that wanted to maybe even add games to the schedule because it's more revenue when you have the regular season games. But to me, it looks like the same amount of preseason games.
That's what I thought. But I guess I haven't had time. It came in on right when we came on the air. They announced the schedule. And let's not forget, the National Football League had no preseason games in 2020. Now, having said all this, we see people are going nuts with the schedule being released. What's your take on, are they actually going to kick off June 10th? And do you think there'll be fans in the stands or not? What do you know as we sit here today?
The major caveat obviously being COVID-19, but when you look at the landscape, and some people took the story that I wrote at 3downNation in terms of the league hoping and praying for a vaccine, maybe the wrong way. I do think the vaccine developments that we have seen in the news recently are significant, but the league needs to have plans if that vaccine isn't readily available to the citizens without our country in a widespread way. So the league is hopeful to have fans back in the stands, but we don't know where the pandemic's going to have us come the spring. There's a sense that when the CFL looks at what's going on down in the NFL and the NCAA, where depending on the state that you're in, there's a various amount of fans allowed. Some of them actually aren't allowing fans there at all. But to me, that's not taking into account the actual fans. And do they feel comfortable being at the stadium, potentially not knowing what the pandemic's going to look like? To me, that's a major question mark. You can open it up, but how comfortable are fans actually going to be? And what's the process going to be like in terms of screening to get into the stadium? I think we all saw the viral video that went around Twitter and social media where there was just a guy sort of patting somebody down lightly, and that was the COVID-19 screening process in the NFL. It's got to be better than that up here.
Yes, and my take is that they may kick off June 10th. I think this is a good news day today that they've announced the schedule, but I do not think there will be fans, and don't please try to tell me that there will be fans, and I don't think that there will be a vaccine widely distributed enough to have fans. And as you said, even if there is, how many people are going to want to come back? But it's still a good news day. Regarding your take, I got the exact same thing out of Ambrosi's address as you did on Monday, but I didn't get the heat, I guess. Like I said, this is your plan, praying for a vaccine. Now, I did have Randy the next day, and I said, Randy, I was hoping that you would say that we're going to play no matter what, fans or no fans. He says, well, we have all these options, but I wanted to keep it positive. So he explained it a little more to me, but that heat that you got from people doesn't bother you, does it, Justin? I don't think that it does.
Not at all. And I understand where Ambrosi was coming from, but like you were getting at, let us know the plans. It's very easy, I think, to come out and say, look, we have scenario A, B, C, D, and maybe all the way down to Z that we can fall back on. Obviously, plan A would be full stadiums and back to, quote, normal in terms of having fans allowed in the stands. But just let people behind the curtain a little bit. I don't think that's a bad thing. We saw when the NHL was putting their plans together how that morphed and changed, Roddy. I know you guys were following it closely, and Gary Bettman was open about it because he wanted people to know the process that they were going through. When you don't let the fans, specifically behind the curtain, they start to wonder what's going on there. So that's what I think could have benefited Ambrosi in his address.
Yeah, and that's where I and the CFL differ, and I'll put you on my team if that's okay. I'm with you. I think you need to say a little more of what's going on. They don't feel that they are obligated to, and it's the fans that are paying the freight, and that's why I think that they do deserve a little more than what they've gotten. But what do you think are the chances of them not playing at all? For instance, you brought up the NHL. We're still talking pro sport here, Justin, and we're still talking about this country of Canada. There's a lot to do with health, but it's a lot more to do about money. And you're seeing these NHL insiders are saying, the NHL owners are saying, the worst case scenario that we pegged a couple months ago is actually way worse than we thought. We can't forget that NHL owners are on the hook to lose maybe way more millions than they thought. I mean, I have not spent 2 seconds thinking about their perspective, but the fact is, they're actually paying the freight. So what are the chances that they don't play? They just say, hey, this is going to cost too much and we're not going to do it. Is that still a possibility, do you think?
I mean, everything's a possibility, to be honest, at this point, because as you said, the owners are going to have to be willing potentially to pay the freight and lose more money than they may have calculated. And that's part of the reason why the 2020 season was ultimately canceled, is that they felt like at the onset of the pandemic, there was still going to be a chance for a shortened season where they might have some fans be able to come in the stands. But as that went along, and the discussions behind the scenes with the Board of Governors and the presidents and all the owners in there talked about potentially paying out money for a Hub City season where you weren't going to have any fans and take a major financial hit, that just didn't sit well with some of the owners. So that's ultimately why they didn't play. So I think we're going to look at next year. You have to be aware of where you might be and try to project it. But until you're there, you can't say for sure.
Yeah. Well, I would like to think that by announcing a schedule, you are guaranteeing there will be a season, but we still don't have that guarantee. But lastly, overall, Grey Cup Unite week, I got to say bravo to the CFL with the media availabilities. We've heard from players, we've heard from coaches, the all-decade team, Randy's address. This has been a very positive step, I think, this week. That's my take. What's yours?
It really has been. And Roddy, I know you've been all over this as well, saying the CFL likes to go dark. And I felt like there was a period there after the season was canceled where there wasn't much news coming from the league, let's say, because they were going through their future planning and trying to trim the budgets, obviously, in terms of football operations, and then looking at what they were going to do for the future. So I think what Grey Cup Unite Week has shown is that even with the lack of football in 2020, that there is still a want for the content out there, and the league has filled that in a very good way. I mean, we can pick apart Randy Ambrosi's State of the League address, but without it, you know, we're talking about probably Mike Riley's contract situation and focusing on that because there wasn't much coming out of the league. Then you have the head coaches, all of them, in a big media avail. And then the star players come out. Riley wasn't among them. But nonetheless, both Levi Mitchell and Cody Fajardo doing their best to unearth some new content and help the league stay in the conversation, especially up in Canada, coast to coast.
All right, Darren Dupont has one for you before we let you go.
No, just really quickly, I just want to hold you to a sim prediction for Grey Cup tomorrow. Ottawa, Saskatchewan.
Boys, what's the spread? We got a point spread on it?
2.5, Ottawa. They've won 8 in a row.
2.5, Ottawa. You guys are in Regina. Give me the Riders, man. I'm going to put it on you guys. I don't think you inputted the Riders team good enough because I think they would have took the 2020 Cup overall. That team was stacked. And I'm talking about the real Grey Cup. So I'll roll with Saskatchewan and Cody Fajardo.
All right. All right. Sounds good, Justin. I predicted he'll be named the game MVP.
Whoa.
But I love me some Cody Fajardo. Justin, thanks.
Yeah, hopefully the goalpost doesn't get in the way.
Yeah, we'll keep it on 3 down all weekend. Thank you, my friend.
Appreciate you guys.
CFL's top insider, Justin Dunk, joining us on last second notice here on Flame Tech Football Friday. We'll come back with a viewer takeover right after this in overtime. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and Listen Live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at Rodney.
head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. So a sports update. Calgary Stampeders star quarterback Bo Levi Mitchell was named the quarterback of the CFL's all-decade team that was announced on Thursday night. You can view the entire two teams, the first and second, at rodpeterson.com right now. What promises to be a chaotic free agent window opens in the NBA at 6 p.m. Eastern tonight. It includes Fred VanVleet and one of about 100 free agents. And Conor McGregor has agreed to return to the UFC for a rematch with Dustin Poirier on January 23rd at UFC 257. UFC President Dana White confirmed that McGregor has ended his latest retirement from MMA by signing an agreement for a 155-pound fight with Poirier. The sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina. For Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive. See at Wendell's. It's Fish Friday. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, we love you. We just got a new shipment because Clark ate them all. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now. Eight delicious flavors at g2gbars.ca. All these sponsored segments. A face-off for Ultimate Fans.
Rapid fire.
Yeah. Does the CFL play in 2021? There's a good face-off.
It's a very good face-off.
I'm saying yes with no fans.
I don't think they play without fans. If there's no fans.
Isn't that what I said?
You said yes, but you said they'll play with no fans.
With no fans.
If no fans is the option, I say the league doesn't play.
Bite your tongue.
I know. I don't want to say it, but if there's fans, they'll play. Of any kind, even if it's a quarter of the stadium, they'll play. But with no fans, I feel like, just from what I'm led to believe, with the like just from the feeling I get, they won't play.
I'm saying they're kicking off June 10th as scheduled, but with no fans in the stands, they're going to find a way to do it. The face-off is for the Mad Greek and Moose Jaw. For the best authentic Greek cuisine, visit their website, themadgreekeatery.com. And for Ultimate Fan Zone, home of the home teams, jerseys, caps, and team apparel, they are your officially licensed fan store in Moose Jaw. To this, the Direct West Business of the Week. For my Sask 411 app, it's right on the main screen of my phone. What do you got for the business of the week?
It's our friends at the Tap and Ballers, and they Woo-hoo. Want us to talk about next week. American Thanksgiving. I know we are simulcast across the United States. They're going to have football on all day. You and I are going to be there hanging out, I'm sure, at some point. We'll be dropping in. So they're going to have a lot of fun, and our friends at Original 16 are going to have prizes. American Thanksgiving Thursday. It's going to be fun.
Thursday, U.S. Thanksgiving Football Thursday.
Yes.
At Ballers. At Ballers, right?
I believe so. Ballers and the Tap. Might be one or the other.
They're together. Chris Bird in Toronto says, Rod, that hoodie you're wearing brings a smile to my face. This bunny hug is from the Grey Cup in Ottawa in 2017, and I made it through 2 hours without dying of heat exhaustion. This thing is a hot mother. I'm telling you, it's ready for minus 40. It's built for hockey.
Yes.
We're playing in a Grey Cup in sub-zero temperatures. And Rams 50-50. Folks, the draw goes on Monday. The Regina Rams 50-50 for their scholarship fund. Please buy your tickets at reginarams5050.com. They'll be making the draw Monday. It'll be part of our 50-50 for Saturday's CFL Sim Grey Cup, which you can watch at greatcupunite.ca or Facebook Live, The Rod Peterson Show. That's a lot.
I know. TV viewers didn't see. I had my Rider shirt on earlier. Now it's the Red Blacks plaid. I don't know who I got on.
You're torn.
I'm Switzerland. I'm neutral.
You came up with a spread.
That's right.
Red Blacks favored by 2.5 going into Mosaic Stadium. How could you?
I know. Riders lost 7-9 down the stretch in the regular season. Ottawa's won 8 in a row. They're hot.
Next week on the RP Show, Rich Sutter, Darren Pang, Rod Black, Jamie Campbell, Dave Poulin, and a whole lot more. We'll see you at 12 p.m. Eastern on Game Plus and tomorrow night for the Sim Grey Cup. Can't wait. This show is like a pasture of goats.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.